Don't, when Billy preaches, you know, the praise team does that for him, but when I preach, you're on your own, Malone. Kids, you are dismissed to junior church, K through K over there, and then first and third in the back, and gospel arts in the back as well. Good morning, everyone. I am Tim Malone, the family ministry director here. If you don't know who I am, I think there's a picture. Is there a picture up on the screen right now? No? How about now? There we go. So this really didn't have anything to do with the sermon. I just wanted to share it with you. But that was our leaders, some of our junior high leaders. We won jailbreak. We finally beat the students this week. So I wanted to give props to our leadership team there. Yes. And then the next slide. Man, is that blurry or is it just me? But we went to the mall last night and had a mall hunt, and some of our leaders did outstanding costumes. It was just so impressive, a lot of fun. But thanks for the way you support the youth in this church. Really, really do appreciate it. All right, so we can continue on with today. We're going to be talking about A Tale of Two Mothers in the book of Galatians as the battle for the gospel continues. And again, the issue is, who are God's children? Who are the people that inherit the promise? And today, Paul's going to go back to the Old Testament, and he's going to start throwing some punches. It's like a boxing match. They've been going back and forth, and today he's going to go for the knockout punch, and he might be successful. We'll have to see what happens. But as we listen to this passage, there's a lot in here for us as well, and I hope that we can grab a hold of this for ourselves. And even when we leave here, that we can think differently about who we are in Christ, and even act differently in who we are in Christ. So it's the tale of two mothers, the tale of two births, the tale of two sons, two cities, two covenants, and two destinies. Sounds like a Star Wars movie, doesn't it? But Paul, today's point is, he's talking about who your spiritual mother is. And how you live determines who your real mama is. And if you're born of Sarah, then you're born of the promise and you inherited all these great things from the Lord. And he says that Abraham's true children, they're not of the flesh, they're of the spirit. So he's kind of setting the table. This is where he's going to go, because these Judaizers are like, well, we're Jewish. You got to be Jewish to be a Christian. You got to be Jewish. So he's going to reach back into their ancestry and just turn the tables on them. It's going to be a good battle. So let me pray for us, and then we'll look at the passage. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we need to hear you, not me. So give me the words to say. Teach us from your words. Build hope in us, Lord. Change the way we look at our lives. Expand our minds. Increase our imagination that we might live by the promises you give. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at Galatians 4:21 to 31. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. That's an easy passage. Thanks, Billy. I appreciate that. You give me that. I'm done. Woo! There is a whole lot in there. A whole lot in there. And I'm going to try to unpack as much as I can. And if I go too long, I'll just stop. But I really love this first question. It just sets the table. Tell me, you who are under the law, do you not listen to the law? I mean, he's challenging them. Think through what you're saying. You want to live by the law. Are you sure you feel comfortable with that? You want to base your relationship on the living Lord with your performance? Really? Good luck with that. You know, it kind of reminds me of this class I took in college, linear algebra. If I would have known what it was, I would have never signed up for it. Oh my goodness. But he's trying to challenge them. Do you know what you're really saying if you want to follow the law? And at seminary, one of my counseling friends was telling how he used this verse with an alcoholic. He was counseling an alcoholic. The man was in rehab. His life was crashed down. And the man comes in to the counseling session, and he smells, all he can smell is aftershave. So what he did was he drank a whole bottle of aftershave just to get the buzz for the day. And he said, tell me, you who live by the bottle, is that what you want? Is that how you want to live? And he was trying to unpack that the bottle had become his God. And what a harsh God the bottle is. Because the bottle comes first. It comes above your relationships. It comes above your job. It comes above everything. And you have to give it all if you want the bottle as your God. And then I think we need to ask ourselves, tell me, you guys, what do you desire? What are you living under? We have multiplied idols like never before, at least in my short lifetime. You know, we were in London and we went to the Hindu temple. And it was hard not to laugh. And I don't mean to offend anyone, but, you know, it was just all these little statues representing gods, and they were colorful and just, you know, you felt like you're at Disney World or something. And they believe that these statues are actually inhabited by the spirits of the god. And I was like, man, that just seems a little far of a stretch. But then I wondered, what would my little temple look like? I'd have like fantasy football over here. I'd have my couch over here, my chips and my food, my approval idol. I love that one. I mean, I would have all of these idols. Tell me, Tim, do you like living under the approval idol? I do not. That is hard work. Earning the approval of others every day, all day, and continue and continue and continue. So my friends, tell me, what are you living under? What are these idols that control you? And that's the thing, these little things control you. The law was controlling these people so that they were in bondage to God. Our little idols can control us and keep us from living the promise. So it's very important to look through that. But here, he's specifically addressing the church in Galatia. Is your performance how you want to relate to God? And, you know, Billy already said what the law points us to. It points us to that we can't follow the law. You know, Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, be perfect. Good luck with that, people. Can you do that? You know, so he puts them on the defensive right away. You know, tell me, do you really know what it says? Then he goes in for the kill. So, your father's Abraham. Okay, I'll give you that. But who is your mother? Let's unpack this. Okay, so we're going to unpack his argument, the tale of two mothers, Hagar and Sarah, And we're going to break it into three sections. John Stott, I got this out of his commentary. It's a good way to organize this one. Historically, allegorically, and then we're going to draw some conclusions for us personally. Okay, so here's the story of a lovely lady. Does anybody know that? Wow. All the youngsters are like, what is he talking about? We'll tell you later, kids. Okay. So, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. But the son of the slave woman was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. Okay, so we got to jump back. You can look at Genesis 16 and Genesis 21 if you want to hear the complete story. But so Abraham and Sarah called out. They leave their home. God's like, I'm going to bless you. You're going to receive my promises. You're going to have land. Land is wealth in the Old Testament. You're going to have more descendants. Look at the sky. Count the stars. And they are in. All right. Let's go. Year passes by. 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. They're getting older. Older than me. And there's no kid. That's a problem. And they get confused. God, what's going on? And Abraham even says, hey, God, what's going on? And God comes, I'm going to build it through you. You will have a son. I'm going to give you the descendants. And they wait and they wait and they wait. And finally, Sarah has an idea. Listen, maybe we need to fix this ourselves. Why don't you take Hagar, my servant, make her your wife, and we can have our child through him. And Abraham says, oh, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, let's do that. And, you know, again, can you identify with that? We wait on God. I need this to happen, God. Where are you? God, have you forgotten me? Have you left me? God, do you hear me? I'm praying every day. Why won't you answer? And the answer, it might be wait. But we don't like to wait, do we? So what do? Well, God, I mean, he's God of everything, but I got to take control of my life. So we control it. And we live by our own ability and our own strength. At least I do. So my question for you is, where are you acting this way? Where do you need to trust God? What are you trying to control that, guess what? You can't. Okay? So what has you concerned today? God has not forgotten you. His promises are true. Wait on him. Look to him. He will deliver. Amen to that. Okay. So, back to the story. Hagar has a son. They name him Ishmael, which I believe means wild donkey. Is that right? Yeah, I think it does. Yeah, I guess I'm supposed to know because I'm up here. I think it does mean wild doggy. So he's born the natural way through man's effort. Abraham failed to trust God. But that didn't stop God. The promise remains 14 years later. Sarah, she's around 90 years old. Abraham's 100, and they give birth to Isaac. This baby is born supernaturally, obviously, by the power of God, by the promise of God. And isn't this beautiful? That even when we mess up and we interfere and we try to run our life our way, it doesn't hinder God at all. His promises will rule. His promises are true. That comforts me a lot. So that's the historical story. Remember, you can look in Genesis 16:21 for that. Two sons, one by the slave woman, one by the free woman. So, of course, the other guys are like, yeah, we know this, Paul. I learned this when I was 6. Get to your argument. And now he's going to say, hey, but that's a historical, but we can use this allegorically. This story was given to us to teach us a deep spiritual truth. And I'm going to teach you lawgivers, you Judaizers, I'm going to teach you what this means. So we continue in the passage. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. First woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman. She is our mother. And as Isaiah said, "Rejoice, O childless woman. You who have never given birth, break into joyful shout. You have never been in labor, for the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband." So he's going to use this to draw out spiritual truth. Now, this is kind of a disturbing story. We're talking about slavery. We're talking about multiple wives. We're talking about Hagar, who just kind of seems like the innocent bystander. She's the guilty one. And Sarah, the conniving wife, looks to be the good person. And there's certainly implications there morally and theologically, but that's not how Paul uses this argument, and that's not how I'm going to use this argument. Maybe when Billy preaches through Genesis, he can talk about that another time. But he's going to use this to illustrate biblical truth, okay? So each woman represents a covenant. So over here, we have Hagar, okay? She is a slave, okay? She was the maidservant. And she represents the old covenant. She gives birth to Ishmael. He's the son of the flesh, the son of natural effort. Nothing supernatural about that birth, right? He talks about Mount Sinai. If you remember, Mount Sinai is where the law was given to Moses. Again, looking back to the law and the Old Testament, that is Hagar. That's who she stands for. Look at this, children of bondage, because born into slavery, okay? The law is bondage. And their home city, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the center of Judaism, where the temple is. Oh my goodness. We also see persecutor. Do you see what Paul is doing? These guys are hearing this right now. Wait a minute. You're saying Hagar is our mother? That's very offensive to those people. That'd be like telling an Eagles fan your mother's a Cowboys fan. I mean, it's even worse than that. But that's downright derogatory. Hagar stands for the Arabs in Arabia. They're the enemies of God's people. And Paul is calling these Jews, these ones that want the law, he's saying that their mother is Hagar. Look out. Punches are flying, people. He is not holding back. I would have liked to have been there when he read the letter. I wonder what their response was. They might have gotten up and walked out. I don't know. But this was serious, serious stuff. But this is a serious, serious issue. The gospel is at stake. Life with God is at stake. He's got to pull every punch he can. So, over here are my favorite people, because you represent Sarah. You're the children of promise. Sorry about you guys. Okay? But she is the free woman. Right? She's not a slave. And her child was born supernaturally. She was beyond childbearing age. Her husband was beyond the age to be able to have to, you know what I mean. Okay. But this is salvation by grace. God is working here. And her city is not Jerusalem now. It's not a physical city. Our home, the Christian home, is the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God, where God is and where God reigns. That is our home. That is where we're going. It's the second covenant. It's the new covenant. So you can see, the analogy here is very clear with the gospel, right? Sarah, a woman of, you know, she becomes pregnant not by human effort, by what God has done. Christ died and gave himself for us so we can be God's children. You can see the analogy of this birth of Isaac says, this is the gospel. You had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with your spiritual birth. Do you understand that? It was a work of God's Spirit. So you can't go back and say, yeah, well, God birthed me, but now it's my turn. You can't do that. It was a work of God. Do not build your reputation on what you can do. Do not live your life on what you can do. Build your reputation on what God has done for you and what you can do through Him. If you do that, you are going to do amazing things for the Lord. And we're going to get to that. Do you understand? Living by performance is bondage. Living by promise is freedom. Okay, so then he pulls in this verse from Isaiah. And this, I know this can be a difficult verse for some of us in here. The reference of being barren and not having children. And the disgrace that Sarah must have felt back in the day. Because back then, I mean, if you were unable to have children, you were just viewed as less than human. You know, you were looked down upon. You were mocked. And I feel like even today, in some extent, there's still a little bit of that stigma that, you know, to be a complete woman, you have to have children. But that's not true. That's not what the gospel says. The gospel says your worth comes from what Christ has done. Your worth does not come from if you have children or not, if you have a husband or not, if you have a job or not. Your worth doesn't come from that. It comes from the Lord. So I hope that this will encourage those of you that have struggled with that, and that what was done for Sarah would encourage you. But I just love this passage because it talks about the economy of God, I like to say. So it was written to Isaiah, to people in Israel. They were spread out all over the place. It looked like it was the end of the Jewish people, right? I mean, they've been overrun. But God makes a promise. No, not only is it not the end, I'm going to bring you back, and there's going to be more than you can imagine. You're going to be thriving. And that's his promise to them. And now, of course, we are part of the answer to here, because we, barren, we need the spiritual birth. We need God to work, and we are part of this children. So Paul is comforting the Galatians here that have been beaten up by the false teachers. And look at it this way. If salvation is by works, only the fertile can have children. Only the morally strong, only the people with good records can enjoy God and be a part of his work. But if the gospel is true, it does not matter who you are. It does not matter what you've done. You could be a spiritual and moral outcast, just like the barren woman of the ancient times. It does not matter, because you will bear fruit. Grace is not just for the fertile Hagars, the people that look good. Grace is for everyone. And I just love that. I love how amazing our God is. You know, he takes what isn't and he makes it is. Do you realize that? I mean, he takes what can't be and he makes it be. Who can do that? Who takes the poor and makes them rich? Who takes the lame and makes them walk? Who takes the blind and makes them see? Who takes the dead and makes them live? Only the Lord. Don't you love that economy? And not only that, the way the scriptures teach, it really sounds like grace is for the broken. Or God has a special heart for those that have just been beaten up by this world and feel less than complete, who feel less than holy, who feel outcast. God loves you. That is his economy. I love that. That is so cool. We can all bear fruit. All of us can bear spiritual fruit for the gospel, because God can do it through you. Not because you're great people, although you are. So again, he's using the scripture. It's up to God. It does not depend on our plans and our abilities. Okay, so moving into the personal. Although I've been personal already, I'd like to be personal. But verse 28, "And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac." Now here's the rub for us. I don't think there's any Judaizers in here. I don't think anybody in here is like, "Tim, I'm going to live by the law." Okay? And I believe most of you, I mean, we are so blessed. We hear the gospel every week. We understand that we need Christ to stand in our place, or we're outside the kingdom of God. And we believe that. We believe that it is by grace alone. We believe we can't add anything to our salvation. We believe all the right things. We say all the right things. We look good. But the rub for us is, do you live it out? Do you really, deep down, believe it? Or are you just playing a game? Well, Tim, how do you know this? Well, I struggle with this myself. It is hard to live by the promise. It's hard to live by what you can't see. We live by sight. We live by how we feel. We live in the physical world. We want to go back to Jerusalem. We want to follow the law because we understand it. Promise, it's mysterious. It's hard to grasp. I just want to know the right answers. I want to know the right things to do, and then I can get on with my life. No, God's got a better life for you, folks. It's not about jumping through hoops. It's about trusting the promises of the living God who's called you out of death into life. Let me give you a little picture that I got from another pastor. Just imagine we had like a small, long, thin piece of wood out in the parking lot, and all the cool bikers are out there trying to ride their bike across from one end to the other, and they're all falling off. They can't get there. Then the little nerdy kid comes out. He gets on the bike, and he rides all the way across. Yes, I did it. How did you do it, man? How did you do it? Tell us your secret. I looked where I was going instead of where I was. And you know what we do in our country? What do I have to do today? We're so busy. We have so many responsibilities. Our vision has shrunk down to, what do I have to do today? What can I do today to make me happy? What do I got to do this week? What do I got to do for my family? What do I do for my work? And we shrink everything down to being stuck in the moment. And we live for instant. Give me gratification now. I want to feel good now. God, deliver me right now. And you know what? We look like unbelievers. We look like Ishmael because we just get caught up in it. It's really hard to live by the promise. And I was trying to just track my brain this week. And man, I gave so much attention to fantasy football. I confess right here. I mean, the first word is fantasy. It's not real. I'm getting in the shower. Who am I going to pick up this week? I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know what fantasy football is, it's a mess. Let's see. We draft NFL players, and then we start them each week, and we get points, and you play another person, and you try to win. Okay, that's about it. But I gave so much mental energy to that. Fantasy football, promises of God. I hope you're not like me. I mean, but think about that, guys. What's controlling your mental energy?
Oh, well, Tim, the promises of God, I accept them. Yeah.
But you got to work them out. You can't blow them off and then think who you're going to start a quarterback this week. Carson Wentz. Sorry. Do you understand, my friends? We have to look up. We can't be trapped into this human way of thinking. To live for you and your story is not enough. What are you going to do? Retire a millionaire? Yay. That's not going to satisfy. You know that. I could bring 10 millionaires in here and they say it's not going to work. Oh my gosh, I read ESPN magazine this week, and there's this camp that trains young boys, 10-year-old. Running back, he's already been offered a football scholarship. He's 10. And then he's like, oh yeah, they're checking out this one kid. He's 6, but he looks like he's 9. And it's not a joke. We're crazy. What kind of pressure is that on a kid? All right, so you make the running back. So you make the Dallas Cowboys. So you make the Hall of Fame. Then what? My friends, it's the promise that gives life. It's not what you do. It's who God is and what He's doing with you. You know, what we like to do is we like to take God's promises and we try to jam them down into our story. Come on, God, just fit your promises into my story. Your story is this. His promises are this. It's not going to fit, people. We're supposed to take our story and put it into His promises. You see the difference? We take our story and put it into His big story. He is the multiplier. He's going to do great things through you. Jesus said, even if you give a glass of water in my name, you will be heavenly rewarded. Man, I'm going to do that today. Do you understand? It does not take much. Scatter some seed. He'll make it grow. He's amazing. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? That's the question. All right, how am I doing on time? I got my stopwatch down here, so I didn't... Okay, 30 minutes, people. We're almost done. Okay, I'm going to blow through this last part. Okay, verse 29. But now you are being persecuted by those who want to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit. But what do the Scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman. We are children with the free woman. Okay, well, this is probably the easiest point. Guess what? Part of the promise involves persecution. Okay? If you follow Christ, if you trust God's promises, you will be persecuted. And he's talking about being persecuted in the church. Back then, the lawgivers were persecuting those who were trying to live by grace. Jesus, who was Jesus persecuted by? The drunks and the prostitutes and all those outside? No. It was all the good people that persecuted Jesus. So we have to be careful of that. But hey, being a Christian in this culture, you know you will be persecuted. You automatically line up against the values of our culture. So persecution is part of the promise. Expect it, my friends. It will happen. It does happen. Okay? And then I love this idea of casting out. So back, and it ends up Sarah casts out Hagar. And again, I'm not really going to get into that. But then Paul says, cast out, get rid of the slave and her son. They aren't of the new covenant. Okay. And again, for us, friends, we need to cast out our law way of thinking. First of all, we need to cast out our self-righteousness. We're all bound to being self-righteousness. Well, I'm better than them, and I know more than them. You got to get rid of that. Cast that far away. That does not help build up in the church. You need to cast out your self-righteousness. And on the flip side, the self-pity. Some of you walk around carrying guilt and shame with you all the time. No, that's not in the promise. Cast that out. Get rid of the self-righteousness. Get rid of the self-pity. And I'd also cast out appearance. Don't just settle for knowing the right answers. Don't just settle for looking like a good Christian. Get it down into the heart. Grab hold of those promises. So cast out appearance, performance. All that does not count in the kingdom of God. So persecution, cast out. And the final thought, you know, Paul then says, Galatians, you are children of the free woman. My friends, my brothers and sisters, you are the children of the promise. So live like it. That's who you are. What do you need to give over to the Lord? What would your life look like if you lived by the promises instead of by sight and what you know? It probably would look a lot different. Or maybe it would feel a lot different. And you know what's really interesting about the story of Abraham? When he dies, he doesn't have that many descendants. I don't even think he could have filled up the Big Dipper. And when he died, you know what he owned? A tomb. Well, wait a minute. He's supposed to have all the land and all the stars, and that's all he died with? Do you think he died disappointed? Was he unhappy with God when he died? Absolutely not. But he knew the promise giver. And he knew the promise giver was going to make it true. And what I'm saying here is that we live in the already not yet. So not everything is going to be fulfilled on this side. But it will be fulfilled on that side. How do you think Abraham's looking up that now? He's like, oh yeah, there's my son, there's my daughter. Oh yeah, that guy back there, I like him. You know, I mean, he's experiencing more than he could ever have hoped for now. Because he is with the Lord. So, my friends, look where you're going. Live for God. Watch Him do amazing things through you. For you are His. Let me pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your great promises. And Lord, Your promises are so great, and it's hard for us to understand them. It's hard for us to live by them. It's so much easier just to live by what I know and what I see and what I feel. Lord, may You work in us by Your Spirit, that You would give us sight, that You would help us to delight in You and Your ways, that we would lift our stories into Your promises. We would look beyond ourselves, and that we might know You. We might be promise livers. And that we could scatter seed and give cups of water and just see Your kingdom grow. Thank You for Your great and precious promises. In Your name I pray. Amen.
And now to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.